As 2013 draws to a close, it is also time to reflect upon the famous and sometimes infamous names and faces who left us in the past year. Figures who shaped our world, brought us the news of the day, and dazzled us in sports and entertainment. And as always, we begin in the arena of politics.
To those waiting with bated breath for that favorite media catchphrase, the U-turn, I have only one thing to say. U-turn if you want to. The ladies, not for turning.
In the final years of the Cold War, the United States had no greater ally than British Prime Minister Margaret Thatcher. Thatcher strongly agreed with President Ronald Reagan's belief that the Soviet Union was something to be defeated rather than contained. In addition to being a clear voice for freedom, Thatcher embarked on a plan of economic growth that embraced free markets and confronted the powerful labor unions. First elected in 1979, Thatcher left office in 1990, with the UK thriving internationally and domestically. Thatcher had been in declining health for several years when she suffered a fatal stroke in April. The Iron Lady was 87.
I must confess, I am unable to describe my emotions. I was completely overwhelmed by the enthusiasm. It's something I did not expect.
In December, the nation of South Africa mourned the passing of its favorite son, Nelson Mandela. A fierce opponent of the country's segregationist apartheid policies at a young age, Mandela eventually embraced violent tactics against his opponents in the early 60s to advance his goals. His plotting resulted in his imprisonment for the next 27 years. He was freed in 1990 by South African President F.W. de Klerk, who also led the abolition of apartheid. In 1994, Mandela was elected president and stunned many when he sought to reconcile the nation rather than settle old scores. A winner of the Nobel Peace Prize, Mandela was 95.
And the devil came here yesterday. Yesterday, the devil came here. Right here. And it smells of sulfur still today.
In March, Venezuelan socialist dictator Hugo Chavez died following a battle with cancer. Chavez was democratically elected, but subsequently accumulated more and more power for himself. He made a special priority of attacking former U.S. President George W. Bush in any forum, including in that clip at the United Nations General Assembly. Chavez was 58. In American politics, we lost longtime New Jersey Senator Frank Lautenberg. After a very successful business career, Lautenberg was elected to the Senate in 1982 and served three terms. When a floundering Democratic incumbent was facing certain defeat in 2002, Lautenberg replaced him on the ballot and was elected to two additional terms. Lautenberg is best known for his crusades against tobacco and guns, and he was the last World War II veteran to serve in the U.S. Senate. Lautenberg died in June at the age of 89. Tom Foley served 30 years in the House of Representatives from Washington State. First elected in 1964, Foley rose to Speaker of the House in 1989, when his predecessor resigned in scandal. Foley and the Democrats were dealt a stunning defeat in 1994, when Republicans swept to a majority. Foley not only lost his speakership, but his House seat as well. Foley later served as ambassador to Japan for President Clinton. Foley died in October at the age of 84. Longtime Florida Congressman Bill Young also died in October. At the time of his passing, Young was the longest-tenured House Republican. His 42-plus years in the House were largely focused on supporting America's armed forces and landing major military contracts for firms in his Tampa area district. Bill Young was 82. Lindy Boggs succeeded her husband in Congress after he was killed in a 1972 plane crash. She won a special election and seven other elections before retiring. President Clinton named her ambassador to the Vatican in his second term. Lindy Boggs was 97 when she died in July. Few politicians come more colorful than former New York City Mayor Ed Koch. Elected in 1977 as the city teetered on the brink of insolvency, Koch helped to rescue the city's fiscal fortunes, even as the crime rate soared. After serving three terms, Koch was defeated by fellow Democrat David Dinkins in 1989. When asked if he would run again in 1993, after a dismal 4 years under Dinkins, Koch famously replied, "No, the people have spoken, and now they must be punished." Although an ardent Democrat on most issues, Koch did later support President Bush in the war on terrorism and on Israel policy. Ed Koch was 88 when he died in February. One of President Reagan's most trusted advisors was Judge Bill Clark. Reagan named Clark to the California Superior Court in 1969 and the State Supreme Court in 1973. He later served as Reagan's national security advisor and was a key proponent of pushing the Soviet Union to collapse. Later a Secretary of the Interior, Clark died in August. He was 81. Perhaps the most famous Surgeon General of all time was C. Everett Koop, known for his tougher-than-expected criticism of tobacco and his efforts to confront the AIDS crisis. Koop was 96 when he died in February. Two figures connected to the Clinton years also died this year. In the early days of the Monica Lewinsky scandal, the former intern was represented by attorney Bill Ginsburg. Known more for his affinity for the TV cameras than anything else, Ginsburg was 70 when he died in April. As Clinton left office, he sparked a major controversy by pardoning fugitive financier Mark Rich, who had fled the country and never admitted guilt. Rich died in June at the age of 78. Several prominent members of the media also died this year. British journalist David Frost was known for his hard-hitting interviews and is most famous for his confrontation with former President Richard Nixon. Frost died in August. He was 74. Many people didn't take Al Newhart seriously when he launched USA Today in the early 1980s. While many people saw it as a simplifying of the news, Newhart knew what he was doing because USA Today was soon the number one circulating newspaper in America. Al Newhart was 91. Helen Thomas was a trailblazer for female reporters and covered every president from John F. Kennedy through Barack Obama while working for UPI and other media outlets. For years, Thomas was honored with the first question at presidential press conferences, but that tradition ended due to her withering criticism of President George W. Bush. Thomas was ultimately dismissed from her position at the White House after offering this suggestion to Israel.
Tell them to get the hell out of Palestine.
Ooh. Any better comments?
Helen is one.
Remember, these people are occupied, and it's their land.
Helen Thomas was 92 when she died in July. Jack Germond was one of the original boys on the bus covering presidential campaigns in the 1960s and 70s. He covered politics for decades at the Baltimore Sun and later famously served as a panelist on the McLaughlin Group. Germond was 85. No film critic earned greater acclaim than Roger Ebert. Teaming for years with fellow critic Gene Siskel, the duo became famous for their thumbs up or thumbs down in reviewing movies. Ebert waged many health battles in recent years. He was 70. Pauline Phillips answered countless letters from people seeking advice in her legendary Dear Abby column. Phillips died in January at age 94. In the sports world, few athletes were better players than Stan Musial, and no one was a finer gentleman. Musial played 20 seasons for the St. Louis Cardinals, won 3 World Series titles, and 3 National League MVP awards. He also held the National League record for most hits until he was later eclipsed by Hank Aaron and Pete Rose. Musial was also famous for having a kind word for everyone and never leaving an autograph seeker disappointed. Stan the Man Musial was 92. Earl Weaver was famous for having a harsh word for just about everyone, especially umpires, but he was also a very successful manager for the Baltimore Orioles. In 17 seasons, Weaver's teams won 4 American League pennants and the 1970 World Series title. Weaver died the same day as Musial. He was 82. One of the biggest upsets in World Series history came in 1957, when the Milwaukee Braves shocked the vaunted New York Yankees. 2 members of that Braves team died in 2013. Shortstop Johnny Logan was 86 when he died in August. Outfielder Andy Pafko was 92 when he passed away in October. In the football world, many experts consider Deacon Jones to be the greatest pass rusher of all time. Known for his head-slap move to get past offensive linemen, Jones dominated the game for years as part of the fearsome foursome of the Los Angeles Rams. A great storyteller and an easy choice for the Hall of Fame, Jones died in June at age 74. Pittsburgh's steel curtain dominated the NFL for much of the 1970s. L.C. Greenwood was a critical part of that defensive line. Greenwood died in September at age 67. A dominant lineman before the days of Deacon Jones and L.C. Greenwood was Baltimore's Art Donovan. In addition to a Hall of Fame career, Donovan was on 2 NFL championship teams and made 5 Pro Bowls. To later generations, he was famous for hilarious stories like this about his years in the NFL while a guest on late-night television.
One time I broke my leg, and 2 weeks after I broke my leg, the coach says to me, "You got to play." I said, "I can't play. I can't even walk. How the hell am I going to play football?" He said, "When I snap the ball, fall down." He said, "Maybe you're lucky somebody will trip over you."
Art Donovan was 89. Chuck Muncy was one of the best running backs of the late 1970s and early 80s. His best years were with the high-powered San Diego Chargers. Drug use shortened his career, but after getting clean, Muncy spent the rest of his life teaching and helping young people stay away from drugs. Muncy was 60. One of the most colorful coaches of that era was Bum Phillips, who led the Houston Oilers from the bottom of the league to the brink of the Super Bowl in 2 consecutive years in the late 1970s. He later coached the New Orleans Saints. Bum Phillips was 90. His boss was Oilers owner and founder Bud Adams, one of the key figures who made the AFL a success. Adams later moved the team to Tennessee and renamed them the Titans. Adams died just days after Bum Phillips. He was also 90 years old. Don James guided the University of Washington to a share of the 1991 National Championship and made the Huskies into a perennial college football power. Don James also mentored a new generation of coaches, including Nick Saban. Don James was 80.
Rice is split left. And Young is back to throw it. Going to Rice. He got it. Jerry Rice, touchdown.
Pat Summerall was a good kicker for the New York Giants, but became legendary as a broadcaster. Known best for his unmistakable football broadcasting, Summerall was also the lead for years on tennis and golf coverage. Pat Summerall was 82. Summerall's golf colleague for many years was Ken Venturi. The winner of the 1964 U.S. Open despite suffering heat stroke, Venturi was a fixture on CBS's coverage of the Masters and other PGA Tour events. Ken Venturi was also 82. Bill Sharman is the only person in the Basketball Hall of Fame both as a player and as a coach. Sharman was a member of the dominant Boston Celtic teams of the 1950s and 60s. He later coached the rival Los Angeles Lakers to the 1972 NBA crown and won a record 33 straight games along the way. Sharman also played a key role in future Laker titles while serving in the front office. Sharman was 87. Walt Bellamy was another legend in the early days of the NBA. Bellamy was a member of the 1960 gold medal winning basketball team, the 1962 Rookie of the Year, and a four-time All-Star. Walt Bellamy was later elected to the Basketball Hall of Fame. He was 74 when he died in November. Two former heavyweight champions also died this year. Ken Norton stunned Muhammad Ali to win the title back in the 1970s. Norton was 70. Tommy Morrison became champ in the early 90s but lost the belt and contracted HIV soon after. Morrison was just 44 when he died in September. Those are some of the biggest names in politics, journalism, and sports who passed away in 2013. Please be sure to catch the second half of this look back on this very same website when we remember the stars from film, television, music, and more. I'm Greg Corumbus reporting for Radio America.